You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're bringing Charlie Lass on the line, and he is an author in one of our upcoming books. He's also founder and CEO of Humble Inc. Got some big news going on today with Humble. Charlie, just want to say first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited.
All right, Charlie. So we got a lot to cover today. Definitely want to get into your background as an entrepreneur. Definitely want to celebrate Humble today. So I guess I can't keep a secret, man. What's going on with Humble today? Let's start there.
Well, So this I kept from you, but the official beta launch of Humble is
come on. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'd love to be the first media outlet team that you brought your story to. So definitely an honor, and we're gonna go further into Humble for those that are watching and are like, what is this Humble thing? Maybe they know Charlie for some other businesses or other entrepreneurial pursuits. Well, Humble is a big deal, and we'll explain why today. But before we do that, we'll start this episode, Charlie, the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Charlie, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Charlie, what mission matters to you?
The most important thing to me is to improve the mental health and success of entrepreneurs around the world, to enable anyone anywhere to get access to the information they need to launch their idea, launch their business, or refine something that they're already working on. And this isn't aimed at the Silicon Valley set. This is aimed at everybody everywhere. We are launching in 6 languages. And the reason it's called Humble is because we are trying to provide equity without ego.
It's great. It's a great story, and equity without ego. It's an interesting concept. So let's, before we go further into the book that will be launched and everything else that you're doing, let's go a little bit further to the beginning. So how did all this entrepreneurial journey start?
Much to my family's dismay, I've never had a real job. I've always done my own thing. And sometimes that's been incredibly rewarding. Other times it's been very stressful. There are definitely moments and days that I wish I'd just gone and joined a bank or something and climbed the corporate ladder. But you know, a 9-to-5 was never really for me. I've grown up around the world. I've traveled a lot, and settling in one place or doing one thing forever was never really going to be in the cards for me. So from an early age, I began doing my own thing, and with the support of a lot of very patient friends and family, we've made a good go of it.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of people. Would you say for you, I mean, you just couldn't work for somebody else? It was just like one of those, like what was that thing in you where you're like, man, I'm just an entrepreneur. I don't want to do this other thing.
So one of the things that Humble is focused on is mental health. And there are a number of studies out there that talk about the behavioral quirks or the substance abuse prevalence or the disorganization or ADHD within entrepreneurs. And I am yet to pick a side, whether it's, you know, we have a different way of thinking and therefore we choose this as a career, or we're simply not able to fit into a normal working environment and therefore choose this career, or whether or not those issues develop as a factor of that career choice. You see the instance, I mean, the instance of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, suicide is a factor multiple for the general population that appears within entrepreneurs, and it's appalling. We want to try and fix it.
Yeah. We're definitely going to dig deeper in Humble, but I want to go into your background further as an entrepreneur first, because you've done a lot of things. So maybe give us a little bit of your history just with startups and some of the other kind of things you've done as an entrepreneur.
Thank you. Yeah. So we were talking production. I started off making some quite terrible films, short films. They were pretty average, but the adverts and commercials that we made were pretty excellent. And the process of coming with an idea, finding the people that support it, finding the money, making it and selling it. Like that sounds like a film production. That sounds like a startup. It's the same kind of skills. And during my film career, which is in the book, the transition to a technology fund in London, to, you know, I was charged with coming up with weird ideas, which we did, and launched the first of which was a company called ViaPost, which was the first hybrid mail system. And it back in 2007, when post mattered and email wasn't really as prevalent as it is now. And it, you know, enabled you to send a letter and have it delivered and printed and then delivered in the town that it needed to be, which means it's greener and faster and cheaper. On the back of that, I went to work with a private equity funded technology company, which we ended up calling Control Point, which was the sort of the Microsoft office of counterterrorism and emergency response. I worked with some phenomenal people there and got to help. It helps change the processes of some pretty interesting situations within oil companies, banks, airlines, and the government. And that led me down a path of, you know, serious data analytics, the weird and wonderful world of counter-terror and emergency response. It was very interesting.
Yeah, and then I mean, going further down your career, so then you also work with a lot of. Then you started helping and working with a lot of startups as well. Am I off on that one or?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was the co-founder of an energy trading company in London, and then was invited to apply to MIT, which I was very, very skeptical about, but I ended up getting into the MBA program with a fellowship, which was awesome. Met some of the most weird and wonderful people in the world. And I know that a couple of them are probably subscribing to this because I sent them the link. And that was it. That was the change of it. Helped me launch my... Well, it helped me realize that actually I wanted to help people get their own ideas to market. I started lecturing at MIT. And since 2016, there's been, I think it's something like 450-ish startups that I and we have helped go through the strategy and the tactics and the early stage launch process for, which is kind of cool.
What are some of the, sticking on this, on the launch process in the early stages of an idea? Because I feel like there's an art to that. What are some of the things that you feel kind of sometimes hold people back from the launch? Or if you word it the other way, what are some of the things that make them, you know, successful? Like either way you want to take that question, but I want to stick on that early stage because you have a unique perspective.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I use the phrase that if it's written on a napkin, it's a little too far advanced for me. We're really at the kind of, here's a harebrained idea, let's see what we can do with it. And there are, you know, like four or five kind of sanity checks that you can do to run through an idea, whether it's how technically difficult it is, how commercially viable it is, how protectable it is, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are, you know, thousands and thousands of different business models that you can apply. But the thing that seems to stop people the most, and people, I think, overdo the phrase, like, fear is what stops you. But it really is. If fear is the mind killer. And as soon as we stop caring about what other people think, and if you end up being able to do that, tell me how, then you're able to see a little more clearly what the next step needs to be. The thing that frustrates me most about the entrepreneurial stereotype is come up with an idea, build an app, make $1 billion, cover of Forbes. It took me a week. Next. And it just doesn't work like that. And it's the perception that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're either, you know, wildly successful and you're a billionaire or you're a failure. Yeah. And depending on which culture you're working within, English culture versus American culture, there's a huge difference to that. But it adds to the pressure. It adds to the misconception that this is something that is easy and something that's also, there's a side hustle. It's not a side hustle. It's a job. It's a career that people choose. I wouldn't start drilling people's teeth. I'm not a dentist. I wouldn't expect someone who is a dentist who comes up with this weird and wonderful med tech to then suddenly quit their job and jeopardize what they're doing to go and be an entrepreneur because it's a totally different set of skills. But what I've developed is a process for sanity checking that idea before kind of the leap is taken and making sure that it gets in front of people who might want it without spending a huge amount of money. Do it quickly, do it cheaply, and see what people want. That minimum viable product, that is the most important thing that people need to focus on.
Yeah, the way I think of it too is that I feel like the idea of like an apprenticeship or learning something, like when we think about being an entrepreneur, to me, that's a skill, Like, that's a skill set. And I was one, I fell into that category, Charlie. You may laugh. I laugh at it when I look at it. I was one of those accidental entrepreneurs. I never really wanted to be outside of corporate America. I started a business that was within what I did, which was finance. And I just thought it was a continuation. Hey, if I'm going to be a financial advisor and for the next 30 years, I might as well own the business. Little did I know that the second company I'd started at the same time as a marketing company, just to hold a piece of IP. The only reason I started it would take me on this whole other path and journey that I was completely unprepared for. I didn't know what being an entrepreneur
was. Journey is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I had no idea what being an entrepreneur was. And that's why I tell people, especially the people that watch the show sometimes, that they see all these, you know, successful people. And, you know, Charlie's worked with all these startups as MIT, all these other things, launching another company. I'm like, hey, but there's a lot of years of labor that went into this point in time to being able to launch Humble or to be able to launch a company with the skill set that you currently have. And for someone to put that additional pressure on themselves to think that they're even going to get it right on their first go, like good luck with that one. I mean, I wish you the best, but it's just, you don't have to get it right in your first go. Like there's other chances, there's other ways to go about it. And that's the way I see it. I'm like, entrepreneurs need to keep doing what you're doing, but especially for the younger ones or the first time entrepreneurs, like just understand that you're not going to just possibly move over from corporate America. You're very successful in corporate America and entrepreneurship works the same way. They're different.
They are. There's a phrase a friend of mine uses, and it's a bit esoteric. He says, jockstrap and gown to Jack Doran back. And a weird phrase. It basically means leave nothing on the field. Yeah. Just go for it completely. And talking about that overnight success bit, that quote from Novak Djokovic, it took me 17 years to become an overnight success. That's the thing that really makes a big difference, is that people realizing that it's not the first try. And there's that measure of, made it versus progression of success. You know, an artist who sells their first painting doesn't then stop being an artist. They've made it. There's always something else. Every entrepreneur's got a list of ideas that they want to deploy. I'm certain that you have a list, you know, somewhere on your phone of idea for a movie, idea for a thing. It's in there, and it's finding the time, the opportunities, and the people that can help you realize that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Charlie. So I want to jump around here a bit. I do want to dive into the main event, which is Humble. All right. So launch day today. I mean, I'm thrilled to announce it and to bring it to our audience. And we're recording this in mid-January 2023, just for my little time stamp, my little vault here, Charlie. So first off, I mean, just tell us about the platform you're in, your plans. Like, give us a lowdown.
Okay, cool. So yes, this is the launch day, beta. Very, very specifically, it's beta. It's not the finished version. Humble.inc is the website, which is a pretty cool domain. And a lot of people are like, oh, is it spelled strangely? It's like, no, it's just the word humble.inc. And the rationale behind that is that one should be able to launch their own thing. Mm. Anyone should be able to, without ego or stress or trolling or all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's been a little bit born out of the social media BS that comes out of things like Instagram and TikTok. Mm. When, you know, there's a 25-year-old guy offering financial advice. I'm like, really? No, it's just because something has lots of likes doesn't mean it's true. Mm. And so what we're doing is filtering through the noise to provide content that is actually factually correct and real and matters, that is delivered by experts around the world who've got unique experiences that understand a nuance of the entrepreneurial journey at each stage. And we provide a marketplace for people to look at to find the tools that they need, the tools they need, not here's a smorgasbord of everything. It's the things that you absolutely need to progress to the next stage, because the entrepreneurial journey is one that is constantly evolving. Every product is constantly evolving, the message, the site, the everything. And so helping people with this guide that we're building, which is not yet live in the site, but is a sort of step-by-step, you think of like Duolingo, like that's our level of like detail that we want to go into, is that when people think about their idea, the first thing that seems to happen is they think about IP protection or incorporating a business. And it's not that. That is not step one. That's step eight, whatever it needs to be. It's, does somebody you don't know find what you're offering interesting? And it doesn't have to be the thing. It has to be the idea of the thing. And getting the, you know, we all you know, want you know, the pat on the back and all that stuff. Going to your friends and family and saying, hey, I've done this thing. Mm-hmm. They love you. So what they're going to do is say, that's fantastic.
Of course.
That's not what you need. You need someone to go, that's a bit crap, actually. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then you refine it. So you need to put it out there to find, this is my views, to find some negative feedback that allows you to refine, to build, to iterate. But doing that alongside another job, family life, not knowing what that information needs to be, not knowing that process, our whole ethos within Humble is to provide a free resource for people around the world in multiple languages. I think we launched in 6 languages to find that information, to get their market validation, to get their MVP, if you want to call it that, for the cheapest amount possible and the shortest amount of time. That's our that's our goal, whilst fundamentally protecting the mental health of everybody who's doing it, because entrepreneurship is stressful enough. And I'm not just talking about the fact that, you know, everyone else is doing it faster and better and everyone else is a billionaire. I'm talking about the stuff that, you know, if you launch your business and as you grow your business, you are, as a founder, changing the toilet rolls in your office, to dealing with investors, to refining the message. Like, you're doing everything.
Yeah.
And that takes a toll. And, you know, at what point is enough enough? Like, at what point do you succeed? And and providing a community, and I think the word community is overused, but providing a resource that allows entrepreneurs to be a little bit more collaborative and say, this isn't very easy. Is anyone else struggling with this? Or I, you know, there's a network of stuff around the world that's growing now, which is founders talking to each other and saying that things are going wrong. And that, you know, lack of judgment helps massively, because this is a lonely career.
Take me back to maybe the seed of this idea. Like, was it a progression? Was it an aha moment? Well, when were you like, or you and your team were like, you know what, this, because a lot of different things you could do, obviously.
Right.
Heavy bench in terms of networks, contacts, and things you've done. Like, what was that moment when you're like, you know, Humble, this is it?
So that's actually, I can answer that. What used to happen was that my friends would say, I've got this idea, what should I do? And then I would help and would collaborate with them.
Yeah.
And then it became friends of friends who would say, oh, I've got this idea, can you help me launch my business? And I would say, okay, well, what you probably need to do is this. And then they wouldn't do it. And I was sort of chasing them to help provide them with insight. And so I limited it, just like, okay, I'll give you 30 days of time. And here are the things that we need to do in order to achieve the next bit. And if we do it, then great, we'll keep going. And if we don't, then I'm going to move on. Okay. And what that ended up developing into was a 30-day process for launching something, like strip out everything. And it works. It really works. And so seeing the stress, and especially in the last few years, you know, last year in the US, and Humble is global, but in the US there were 5.4 million startups launched. And part of me thinks, why wasn't that 50 million?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't need to be something that is extremely complicated. There are tons of platforms that allow people to launch something. But changing that mentality of side hustle to this is a business, that is, there's a tipping point in there that people don't really necessarily understand, or that they don't believe in. They don't believe that they made a success of it. They don't believe that they've made enough progress. And I've seen people give up at a point where, like, actually, you're making real progress. You should just maybe keep going with this. And people don't really believe it. So that 30-day process, combined with the stresses I see and the stress that I've experienced, especially during the pandemic, I mean, that was horrendous for us all.
Yeah.
But when you look at, you know, the traditional model of startup funding being a little bit misunderstood, and it's certainly changed in the last 3 years, and the marketing. I mean, last year, TikTok had more views than Google. I was like, okay, who predicted that? I mean, you know, the Chinese might have done, but it's everything is shifted, it's changed. And so enabling people to make progress without spending lots of money, without stressing themselves out, like, that is our goal, and just to provide that information to everybody, everywhere.
Yeah. And so when you talk about too, and one of the things that you've just said, I'm sure there's a lot of individuals that have watched this that will identify to that. They get these ideas, they want to get them out there. They think that they have to have all these other things done. I have different friends in different groups, and some of them are in one camp where they'll get out that MVP and they'll try it and they're like, oh, that one didn't work, on to the next one. Then I have other friends that are, you know, 5 years later, like still on paper, and it's like, you know, and you know, figuring out more things than I care to mention. And is there a, so Humble is going to fit, and in my opinion is going to, or correct me if I'm wrong, is going to fit kind of in that space to the MVP side, to where you want to get, you can, you know, get out there, start testing your content. You can, as you said, do it economically and see if there's a need or a demand for what you have to say. And the way that you would gauge the need or demand, like how would you kind of quantify that?
I mean, that's totally specific. And yeah. The quantification bit is really hard for us. Are we talking med tech? Are we talking an app? Are we talking, you know, a consultancy service?
No, I mean, when somebody's on the platform, so Humble, when they're going out there, they're creating content. Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, so the way in which we're going to quantify that is the guide, the journey that you have through us. Mm. So progressing through not quite a course, and not quite like different levels, although we've contemplated sort of gamifying it.
Yeah.
But is like, how far through have you got? Save your progress, come back later. Like, it's something that you can do whenever you like. And you can, the content that you will be able to access will be dependent on where you are in that stage. So like early stage, you're not going to be talking about capitals and financial.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, 6 months in, okay, let's talk about GAAP and accounting processes, whatever it needs to be. Like, that will be curated. So it's not overwhelming at the beginning, but it's also not too basic once you've really got through the process. And it's just a constant resource.
Yeah, I can see that. And really, it's kind of, I mean, I don't know if this is too basic to say, but it's kind of like having a friend walk you through the process, yeah? Right. Like, of what it takes to get from beginning to end, right?
Right. So that's actually, I've never heard someone say that before, but that's actually exactly what we're trying to do. You know, I mentor a lot of startups each month, and we, you know, I do office hours with an awesome, what would you call it? Like, well, it's called Capital Factory. It's the center of gravity for entrepreneurs in Texas. And I mentor every month there, and we go through, you know, four or five different companies each month. And we have 30 minutes to solve a problem, to form a rapport, solve a problem, and understand their business model. Now, what I want to do is do that constantly.
Yeah.
But I can't, because two reasons. I can't scale me.
Yeah.
And also, startups don't have much money. So I can't start charging. So that's the basis of all this information needs to be accessible to everybody in their own time, in their own way. But that's exactly what a friend guiding you along the way is amazing. I'm going to steal that. So, you know.
Do it. And the reason I say that, by the way, is what you just described was what, as I mentioned, when I became an entrepreneur, I guess you'd say, and when I finally closed up shop on my more, I'd say, traditional business for some, and I thought I'd be out of a suit and tie, Charlie, then we started doing video. They put me back in a suit and tie, man.
Well, that's your choice, mate. You can wear what you like.
I was good.
You could find
I had a mentor and friend who was a previous client of mine when I managed money and other things, and his Dan, and he was my friend, kind of guiding me through it. And he'd been more along the lines of your path, which was he'd been a, you know, entrepreneur launching businesses since his probably early 20s. I don't know. Actually, now that I think back, I don't know if he ever had a traditional job. Now that I think about it, he just was one of those startup and exit guys. And yeah. he was my friend through that process, but the likely that, you know, everybody's going to have an access to a Dan or a Charlie or a insert the, you know, name in the blank there. It's not very likely. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's just not they're working. He has his own businesses. You have your own businesses. It just can't happen. So now insert, you know, a platform like Humble. And now there's no, I won't say no excuse, because I don't think people are not moving forward based on an excuse, but it's removing a barrier. That's a better way to say it. It's removing a barrier that could possibly be holding some back to getting their idea out there.
Right. That's a really, really good way of putting it. And what we want to do is to provide a pretty calm way of approaching information that doesn't doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there are things you can buy on the site. Great. But it's a business. But the information, if you go to pretty much any resource, mm-hmm. I want to use this software tool, I want to use this website designer, whatever, yeah. there's immediately like, I'm going to have to buy something now. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that that isn't the first thing that people experience. Mm-hmm. The first thing that is going to be like, let's just take a breath and help people understand what this journey really will look like.
Yeah.
And if we can reduce the stress on mm-hmm. entrepreneurs anywhere, and again, this is not a US focused business, it's global. Yep. That's amazing, because mm-hmm. the instances of real pain and stress and substance abuse and all that stuff mm-hmm. within entrepreneurs is palpable, and it's got to change. Yeah. And that's our goal.
Yeah. And talking about, and I know you mentioned it before, but maybe just a little bit more touching on the idea of like the commitment to mental health on the platform and just in really the DNA of the company.
Right. Yeah. You know, you look at the Instagram profiles that's people's showreel. Like you don't see the stuff in the background.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that we're accessing enough of the creativity of the world if someone has to be confident and pretty and well lit and on a beach in Ibiza to be successful. Like yeah. that doesn't help humanity at all. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that people are able to understand that it doesn't just rely on a certain aesthetic or a certain positioning in life. And I say mm-hmm. that, you know, as a white man, well-educated Western white man, like I won the genetic lottery in lots of ways. Like, so this is like, if things are hard for me, mm-hmm. then wow. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I grew up in different parts of the world, as mm-hmm. I said, and you know, it gives you a really different and interesting perspective. And it shouldn't be the exclusive right Western white men to get on with it and understand everything and have everything handed to them. And so, yeah. you know, share the love.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. And I'm a fan of it being part of what, you know, the DNA of the company, especially from the beginning, as things grow, as platforms get bigger, and sometimes messaging can get lost or can, you know, evolve. But when you really start with that thought process in mind, I feel that it permeates from the people that you hire to everything else. And so that it really can be ingrained versus just kind of like riding the next wave of, okay, that's what we should be supporting. But when you start, so since you're doing that from the beginning, I'm confident it's going to continue in the platform and continue in the DNA of the company, because that's what, in my opinion, tends to happen.
Thank you. I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah.
This isn't a branding exercise. It's like, yeah. It's the name of the business. And
point taken, Charlie.
Who knows where we're going to go, yeah. what's going to happen. But we have information people want and need. We have a product mm-hmm. that people want and need. And we have genuine desire to help. And that's the ethos behind it. And who knows what it'll turn into.
Yeah.
But it starts today, which is kind of
amazing.
Cool.
Amazing. So Charlie, we're going to keep this high level on this portion of it. And for everybody watching, just to let you know, don't worry. We're going to bring Charlie back onto the show for a part two of this. This is a two-part interview. We're going to bring Charlie back on when the book that we're launching together is actually live. But Charlie, again, we're keeping it high level today. Maybe just give us a little bit of a taste of what you plan to present in the upcoming Mission Matters book.
That's a huge amount of pressure.
Yeah.
If only I've had some time.
You're still in editing, Charlie. There's no pressure. It could become something completely different, but we at least need a little teaser here, man. Yeah. I already said we're bringing you back for the next episode.
So we have a couple of stories. One of the things we are going to be doing is, this is going to expand, is interviews with people around the world who have...
So I hope everybody else is excited too as well. Don't worry, we'll let everybody know when obviously the next interview come out. We're going to do that when the book is live. Well, Charlie, I just have to say it has been really a pleasure having you on the show to celebrate the launch of Humble today with you. For everybody listening, it was humble.inc. Am I off?
That's right, humble.inc.
Humble.inc. For everybody in this, definitely go check out Humble.inc today and poke around the site. And I know you mentioned your
beta. It launched like an hour ago. So, you know, give us some feedback, subscribe to that email address and let us know what you think and what you need.
Fantastic. And we'll be sure to put all the information in the show notes so that people can just click on the link and head right on over. And speaking of the listeners and viewers, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, and really what we can all learn and gain from that knowledge and information. Whole point of the platform, we all want to grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Charlie, again, wishing you much success with Humble. Can't wait till the next time we get to do this again.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's been a real pleasure.